Good morning. I was hoping the music was going to fade a little longer to get that drink before. How are we doing this morning? God is good, amen? Man, what a powerful time of worship. Would you guys just thank Pastor Jason and the worship team one more time this morning? Always love hanging out with the worship team, worshiping. It's good stuff. Timing is everything. In all situations of our lives, I'm sure that one time or another, it was someone in the group that would look at something from the outside in, and whether or not the situation went bad or good, somebody would say, well, timing is everything. All kinds of different examples in life that we see where timing is very important. For instance, food, right? There's a perfect amount of time to prepare certain foods. For me, the perfect time is well done. Now, I've probably lost some respect from some of the guys in here, but sorry, I have to eat it how I like to eat it. So well done, perfect timing. Some of you, the perfect time is while it's still mooing. There's something wrong with you guys. When we look at jokes, there's that perfect timing that takes place in the delivery that makes it really funny. You won't get this from me. I tell horrible jokes. I'm always in a rush to get to the punchline. Matter of fact, I feel that way even in my talks. I feel like I want to get to the end point, but I still know I have to build up to it, and it's really, really hard. I tried telling one joke one time before a sermon. You know, I've seen many people speak at different pastors, and some of them are really good at, like, introing their talk with the joke, so I thought I'd try that one time. It was only that one time. It didn't go very well. Music. There's always perfect timing in a beautiful song, and as a band plays together, there's just this timing that makes it that much better. If you want to hear bad timing, you can just listen to me play the drums. Financially, right? There's always a timing to invest and to save. Buy low, sell high. Don't get that flipped around. Our health. There's always these moments of timing in our lives when it comes to our health and how we take care of ourselves and the timing to start doing diets and exercises. There's always a timing to catching something early as opposed to too late. Timing is everything. And there's a wisdom to timing that God wants us to lean into. Timing isn't just this thing we have on our wrist or on our phone or we look at through our calendars and schedules, but there is timing. There is a supernatural power in timing that when we reside in abide in God's timing, things start to look different. Outcomes start to change. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, which is where we're going to be today, you don't have to turn there right now. I just want to start in verse 11 so that you can keep this verse in the back of your mind as we go throughout the morning. It says, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. That last part is what I would kind of get hung up on throughout the week as I was preparing for this morning. People cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. How much more important is God's timing with that fact? God sees the whole scope of our situations. He sees the whole scope of what we're going through. How important is it then for us to really start to investigate and lean into God's timing since he sees it in its perfect form? Reflect on that for a moment. God has made everything beautiful. God has made everything beautiful in his own time. Because in our own personal moments in life, we don't see the beauty of what we're going through at first sometimes, do we? But then we start to look at some of the things that we go through in hindsight, and we see how God's hand was at work the entire time. And then we start to see the beauty of it all. As I began to reflect over my own life, a flood of different memories came to mind. Moments where what I was going through at the time, times of praying for God to move, praying for God to hear me, and wanting him to do something or force something to happen in me. All the time thinking, God, you have to know the time is now. Right here I am. I can't see the whole scope of everything telling God the time is now. Have you guys ever done that? It's kind of ridiculous. God, you have to know the time is now. I mean, if the timing is right for me, I know it's got to be right for you. But then looking at those same moments, knowing what I know today, being able to look back on those situations, now being able to admit seeing God's beauty and perfect timing through it all. Looking at the whole scope, which is only something we can do after the fact, right? Only after a situation, a circumstance, a decision made, can we look back and see the effects of it all. Realizing that all of my stress, all of my pushing to make something happen was wasted. And I could have instead been leaning into his peace, knowing that he is in control. And it's not to say that there isn't effort in the things that God calls us to do. Whether it's a dream or a vision or a task at hand, something that God is calling us to do, there's always going to be effort in cooperating with what God wants us to do. But there's a difference in the work as it's done in his timing. Versus the work that we do when we're pushing something into existence through our timing. You ever notice that? When we're walking in God's timing, when we invite him into that conversation, when we don't rush past something so quickly and we take time to hear God in the moment, it seems as though that process just has, the process hasn't changed. We still have to go through it, but for some reason there's a little bit more peace in the moment, right? But then there's times where we are pushing the door open, we're prying the windows open, we're making things happen. And there's not so much of that peace, there's not so much of that calm in the moment. Kind of relate this to our first home buying situation. My wife and I bought our first home. And I remember at that moment, that was all I was thinking about. It's all I wanted to do was get our first home. And we were young and quite honestly, probably not ready. But we did. And it seemed like there was a door closing every other day. It seemed like it shouldn't be happening. But my prayers went from really seeking God on the matter to what does Dan really want to have happen right now? So I kept pushing doors open, prying windows open, and making something happen that perhaps might have been in the wrong time. There's a measure of peace in the midst of the toil and the work that we do when you are moving in God's timing. When you're content, when you're without preference, when God's timing is taken into account, we begin to live in a new kind of freedom. We don't associate freedom with abiding in God's timing very much, but let me tell you, there is freedom that we get as believers, as Christians, as we start to abide in his perfect timing. When you're in his timing, there is a freedom, there's a peace, there is an understanding, there is a submission to his control in everything we do. Anxiety, worry, these types of things start to dissipate as we realize we are abiding in his time. There's a quote, I don't know the author, it didn't show when I was looking up this. It's not very profound, it's just something that stuck with me as I was prepping for this. It says, God has perfect timing for everything. Learn to wait on him. And this was the key. This brings God honor and you peace. I believe when we give God our schedule, and we give God a moment to be involved in the timing of our life, when we start to look and understand that he can see the broad scope of everything and that we cannot, that we start to honor him, and in honoring him and abiding in his time, it promotes peace in our lives. So let's dig into this way of life this morning where we embrace the best of life by waiting on his timing rather than our definition of the best of life through our timing. Amen? And before we get into any more or any further right now, while that's still sitting fresh in your mind, I just want to stop and just say welcome once again to Disciples Church. We're so glad that you are here. I didn't get a chance to look around too much, but if this is your first time with us, we're so glad that you're here. We hope that you make some friends today. I hope that you feel at home. In the seat pocket in front of you is a welcome brochure. We'd love for you to take this home as a gift, just a way for you guys to kind of get to know us a little bit more, connect with us, find out what we're all about. Also want to stop and say hi to the moms in the living room across the hall that are joining us via the live feed in the TV. Those online, thanks so much for popping in, checking out the podcast. We hope some Sunday to see you here. This morning, we are going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, turn there now. There's one under your chair if you're wanting a paperback. If not, there's an incredible app called YouVersion in your app store, your smartphone. I would suggest downloading that, and you can follow along there as well. Would you guys pray with me this morning? Father, timing is everything. Not our timing, Not the world's timing, not the expectations of those around us, but your timing is perfect. Your timing is beautiful. Let us begin to learn how to abide in your timing, to relax in your decision, to sit back and realize that you are in control and that your love for us is to see things made whole. And that you want to see the decisions we make, the choices we make, the circumstances and situations that we are resting in, even at this very moment, that there is a timing for everything in them. So we ask God that you would, Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Begin to help us understand what this means. Help us to realize that there is a greater timing than that of on our wrist or in our daily planner. That there is a timing that is perfect that makes all things beautiful. In your precious name we pray, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So again, we're in our summer series on the wisdom of Solomon, and lo and behold, Solomon has a lot to say about timing and the matter of timing and abiding in God's timing and understanding that there is this greater sense of time out there that we don't really think about. We just call it life. We just call it things that come and go. But there is this timing, the way that things work out in life. And we can't talk about timing without referencing Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. For those who might be old enough and or those who would like good music from the 60s, you might know this verse because of a band called The Byrds. Did you know this, Jason? In 1965, what song am I referring to? Beautiful. First service, everyone looked at me like I was an idiot. I'm telling you right now. We know that verse. So you can just sing that while I'm preaching that this morning. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. I hope you don't sing that song in the back. It's going to be hooked. Now you're going to be looking for it in your car on the way home. But I want to read this, and then I want to go over a little bit of it, kind of break it apart, and see how we can apply the wisdom of Solomon as it relates to timing in our lives. It says, a time for everything. For everything there is a season. Turn. A time for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to cry and a time to laugh. A time to grieve and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. Yet God, verse 11, has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. For everything there is a season, and God has appointed those times and those seasons. Those words I just said, God appoints these times and seasons. Those words are for everyone in this place this morning. For every person in every place, in every situation, and in every circumstance, hear those words. God appoints these times and these seasons. Let's take inventory of where we're at right now as that relates to us. Because we all come from different walks of life, different journeys. We're in the middle of something, and we all have that different something. But God has appointed each and every one of those times. Each and every season that is represented in this room, he has appointed. All the events in our lives, the happy, the sad, the easy, the difficult. And you know what? This should bring hope. This should bring joy, knowing that whatever you're going through this second has been appointed, these times and seasons have been appointed by God. It should bring you hope and joy because we know that God is in control. And I've almost gotten to the point, because I hear other pastors saying it too, or people saying, well, God is in control, and that's not a good enough answer anymore for some reason. It's become cliche. I don't think saying that God is in control is cliche whatsoever. It's a reality. Amen. We shouldn't be afraid to say that. We shouldn't shrink when we say that. Saying that God is in control for the situations we're going through is okay. God is in control. It is a reality. A couple of things to remember as we go through these different seasons in our lives, I just want to point out real quick as we keep going on here. The first thing is seasons and times will change. That's not profound, but they will change. We know this. We're all old enough now to see the different seasons that we've been going through. But God's presence will remain. We know that times and seasons change, but sometimes we forget that the presence of God is in the middle of it. Psalms chapter 139, verse 7 through 12. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the furthest oceans, even there, your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. God has given us the wisdom and discernment to tend to the different times and seasons in our lives. Do you believe that? We weren't called just to ride out the seasons, but to tend to our souls in the midst of these seasons. We're not called just to be going through something and say, well, I can't wait for this to be over. But to find out what God is trying to do in our souls in the midst of those seasons. There is something that God is wanting to do in each and every person, in each and every season. But what we want to do is we want to rush the moment, right? Man, I can't wait until this is done. I can't wait until this season of my life is over. There's a strategic kingdom play taking place if we would only spend more time waiting on God in those seasons. If we would take a moment to rest in those seasons and to find out what God is trying to download in our lives in those moments, we would stop trying to rush from season to season, but then instead embracing what God is doing, the character and the integrity and the person that he is cultivating in each and every one of us. Look for the gift that God is trying to give you in the process of his timing. There is a gift that God is trying to give you and I in the process of his timing. We miss those gifts. We lose those gifts. We don't take advantage of those gifts as we try to rush from season to season. Look for the gift that God is trying to give you and I. Throughout the scripture in Ecclesiastes, I see, at least in my own interpretation, an overarching gift that I believe God is trying to give to his people as we embrace these seasons, as we embrace his time and abide in his timing. If we would only put our need to control the time aside and rest in his timing, we would see that the gift that he's trying to give us is to live, to experience, and to see his hand in all of it. That might not make complete sense this second, but if you read again through the scriptures we read in chapter 3, you would see that the gift is to live, to experience, and to see his hand in it all. It says a time to be born and a time to die. I don't think it just means humanity. I think that means more can also be applied to the things that we put up, the things we build up in our lives, the plans that we strategize, the dreams that we have, the visions we have. That there's a time for those, some of those things where God says that those times have passed, those times are done. But then again, let me also assure you that there's a time for new things to be born. A time to tear down and a time to build up. That as things get torn down, there's also going to be a time for us to build. A time to cry and a time to laugh. We've all had moments of weeping. But it's a beautiful thing that God does, that he provides a lifetime of moments and times where we laugh. Opportunities to live. A time to grieve and a time to dance. We've all had those moments as well, hard moments sometimes, where we've grieved. But then, again, in the scope of God's timing, he always provides an opportunity for us to dance again. A time to keep and a time to throw away. There will be many things in this life that we can't let go of. Things that God is saying, it's time to let that go. Let that experience go. Let that thing go. Let that person go. And there's going to be things that God tells us to hold on to a little bit. But then again, he's going to give us the permission we need to throw things away as we need to and as a time sees fit. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. In this gift of life, we get the opportunity, the gift to be silent when all we hear is noise. And how many of you guys know in life there's a lot of noise? And a time to shout it from the rooftops as well. We need more of those times. And then again in verse 11, again, just to remind you, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Everything I read in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, is just a back and forth seasons of timing and of life. And we're invited to engage life and not just go from season to season, but to embrace what God is doing in our lives in each and every one of those seasons. So the question is, as we look at the scope of what God knows from beginning to end in everything we do, what are we missing in the in-between moments? What are we missing? What lesson are we not getting? What gift are we not opening that God is wanting to give his people as we begin to abide in his timing? Instead of rushing to the next, if we were to stop and wait on the Lord, what would we find we've been missing in the in-between moments? When it comes down to the process of God's timing, we're inevitably going to learn some things about ourselves. Amen? When you submit to somebody, when you submit to God, it is going to be inevitable. You're going to find some things out about yourself. The first thing as it relates to this scripture is that we truly find out what we're grateful for. So how does timing and abiding in God in his timing, how does that translate into finding out what we're grateful for? Well, I think it goes back to living a life without preference. If we tend to force something to happen, if we're not happy unless we satisfy that immediate gratification, whether it's for that purchase, needing that next revelation from God, or anything in between. If being grateful for what you have now cannot be accomplished unless X, Y, and Z happens now, then we aren't living fully in the season at hand. We are not truly living fully in the season at hand and all that God wants to do if we can't embrace this until we get to there. God's wanting to do something in you now. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, it says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. We shouldn't need X, Y, and Z to be accomplished later in order for us to embrace what God is fully doing in the season now. Does that make sense? This is the day that the Lord has made. We embrace today. He's given us today. There is something God is wanting to do incredible in your life today. But a lot of us are going to reflect on our day, on the things that we have going on, the hard decision that we have to make today or tomorrow. The hard season that we're in the middle of right now, the circumstance and the situation. But God is saying today he made for you. What is it that God's wanting to do in your life today, or are we missing it? Are we not fully embracing what God wants to do in you today because we're so worried about the next moment? Second thing I think we find in this is we find out who's really in control and where our trust lies. Remember, if God appoints the times and the seasons, right? We know he appoints the times and the seasons, but when things don't move, when things don't happen, if we can't fix a situation or a circumstance, when we have been waiting for so long for God to do something, do we, A, wait longer? Or B, do we try to force something into existence? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Psalms chapter 18, verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. To take refuge in him means to not go out on your own. Take cover. We don't want to move outside of God's timing, guys. And we don't want to compromise his perfect plan with something that we force only to experience a counterfeit of his perfect plan. I don't want to experience counterfeit. I want to see what God's perfect plan would have done had I waited, had I listened, had I heard. Remember, God has perfect timing for everything. Learn to wait on him. This brings God honor and you peace. So what wisdom do we find in walking in God's timing? Or at least from the scriptures that we're reading this morning. Expect change. Change will happen in life, and it's okay. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9 says, remember that I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. As things change, as he sets a course for our life, as we go from season to season and time to time, that God, he's with us wherever we go. Life might change and times might change, but God will always remain. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. God doesn't need a five-hour energy drink every time a season changes in our lives. He doesn't need a different resolve. He doesn't need to pull out another bag of tricks. He doesn't need to do any of that as our times and our seasons change. His power, his love, his constant desire to see you and I made whole and live fully in his kingdom now will never change. Second thing is depend on his timing, not yours. Psalms chapter 31, verses 14 through 15. I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Easy to read, easy to say, sometimes tough to do, huh? I can't count how many times I've misstepped and still do to this day. But I'm beginning to learn and to recognize those missteps earlier and earlier in the process. And I find that the peace in those moments when I finally submit to God and say, God, I missed something here. The timing was a little off. What is your timing in this? Third thing here is waiting will always be a part of God's timing. Waiting will always be a part of God's timing. If you don't like waiting, I'm sorry, it's a part of the process. Because it does a few things. Waiting develops our ear to hear. When we're going 100 miles an hour and we've already made 10 decisions that we didn't even involve God on, we're not hearing God speak. We're not giving the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to share what he might have to say on the issue. Waiting on God displaces anxiousness and promotes peace. That's a big one. Waiting on God displaces anxiousness and promotes peace. I don't know about you, but anxiety, when I know, I can feel when I'm pushing something through, when I'm making something happen on my own. I know the difference between relying and resting on God and waiting on God and then me saying, never mind on the waiting part, I'm just going to go to the doing part. There is an anxiety that rises up, but then I've also felt the peace when I say, that's a great thing to do, but let's wait for a moment. Let's see what God has to say about this. Waiting on God makes us pause. You know what? Sometimes it's all we need to respond correctly in the different seasons of our lives. If you want to respond, if you want maybe not a surefire way, but a very good way to at least feel like you're on the right road to determining whether or not you're responding correctly in a season of your life, just pause. Take a step back. Allow yourself to hear what God might be saying. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, it says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. We have a God, creator of the universe, miracle-working God, who cares about you and me. Why shouldn't we stop and abide in his timing? Bottom line, and I've said this before, what we're learning about, what I'm learning about, the search for wisdom and all the different things we've been talking about over the summers, it comes back to spending time with the Father. To find and walk in his timing and to navigate through all the different seasons of life, we have to spend time with God. I'd love it if I get the worship team to come on up for just a moment. And as they do, would you guys stand with me for just a second? I just want to share some closing thoughts and ideas, and then I want to provide an opportunity for us to do just that. To pause and to wait. Maybe not for a corporate thing to happen, but maybe for an individual. This might be your one time you've given God all week to pause. You might have made 50 decisions already about something you have coming up and have yet to stop and say, God, is this you? Is this your timing? Because your timing is perfect. Your timing is beautiful. And God, you see the scope of time from beginning to end. So it might be important that we ask you, what is your timing in all that we do? Since we know that God is completely sovereign over time, and more specifically the timing of our lives, we can say with confidence, Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6, there is a time and a way for everything. And since in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, we can depend on God's timing to be perfect, even when ours is not. This morning, let's spend some time waiting on God. Not trying to produce anything. Let's just spend time with our Father. Begin the process of hearing His voice and recognizing the areas in our lives that we have settled for our timing instead of God's perfect timing. And then let's commit to Him this morning that we are going to seek His time. We're going to seek Him in our seasons. All of us are probably in one right now just hoping that tomorrow will be the end of that season. How about embracing the gift that God is trying to give you in this season? Amen? Let me pray over us this morning. Worship team's going to lead us and give you guys some time to wait on God. Father, we're so glad again to be here this morning. You're such a good God. You care about us. You see the scope from beginning to end. I don't want to miss the in-between moments. I don't want to miss the jewels and the gifts, the wisdom that's in those in-between moments when we're so much in a hurry to rush from this season to next. Instead, let us pause, let us wait, and let us ask, God, help me to get in line with your timing. I've been such a person of doing. I've been such a person of making things happen. Reconstruct something in me that instead causes me to pause, to wait, to hear, to ask, what is your perfect timing? How does this situation become beautiful by relying and abiding in your timing? Because I think even in some of the harshest situations that we go through, and seasons that we go through, that there is something that can be found that is beautiful. God has given us the opportunity to rest in Him to find it. Father, displace worry. Father, displace anxiety. And instead bring peace into the seasons that we're facing. The wisdom we're searching for this morning is the wisdom to acknowledge that God is in control. That should bring us joy and hope no matter what we're going through. It is not a cliche, and it does help. We believe in a God who can do all, can be all. We rest in that. In your precious name we pray this morning, and all God's people said, amen.